Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Thank you, Lord, for so much that we're learning about these Ten Commandments that I certainly have learned a lot, and how you open our eyes to things. And Lord, again, we are certainly glad that the Lord Jesus came to save us from our sins, and the law reveals how unrighteous we truly are. But I pray, Lord, that we would not just set it aside in some complete way, but understand that this reveals your character, your holiness, your righteousness, and that they're there even to this day for a reason. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be holy and righteous, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and enabled by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me read down to verse 11 where we're at from the very beginning. It's all in your notes there. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. For you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. All right. We're going to go down now. I've outlined it below there, the rest of it on the left side. I'll review. You shall have no other gods before me. Nothing and no one but God should be directing my life. It's not God first and everything else second. It's no. God says nothing in my presence at all should be competing with my position as God. The second command, no self-defined version of God. You don't, instead of letting God define himself in his word, you don't bring him down and say, well, I'm going to make my own God in my own image in a sense. Okay, and define him as, well, he's okay with sin in these areas and these areas. No, he says, I'm holy. And I'm enlightened. There's no darkness at all. Okay, so whatever that might be, and it could be even be worshiping people or pastimes or whatever too. I believe all of those are possible in that realm. We're not to worship celebrities, people of any kind, or pastimes. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You're not misusing God's name in the way you talk and what you talk about or in your actions. The last one here that we're doing today, it's the last of the God-oriented commands. Remember, there's four toward God. Love God and love people, right? The two, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love God is four. Love man is six. There you go. Math. I need more coffee here, which I will be drinking here shortly. So I put it this way, and I didn't take the underlines out, but it's rest. We are to rest for two reasons. And the first one is to reflect, and if you want to add it in detail, on God. We are to be inactive, if you will, which this is very hard, I think, for us in our Western culture especially. Rest to reflect, in order to reflect and to recharge. All right, let's break these down. There's five boxes on your left below there, so let's just do it quickly. And I've just asked questions here because my main stuff is on the back side. So we're going to fly through this. Notice verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The command is to remember. Do not forget the Sabbath day. What are we to remember? What? The Sabbath day. Why are we to remember it? To keep it holy. What does holy mean? Set apart. Something different than the other 6 days. Okay? So far, so good. That's all we want to identify right here at the moment. Verse 9. He goes on, I broke it up into 2 sets of instructions. He said, on the first 6 days, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Okay, so instructions part one. When is this happening? What's the answer of when? 6 days. What? 2 parts. You shall labor. It's assigning its work. It's not saying you can only work within this scope. It's telling us we're to work 6 days a week. Isn't that what it's saying? 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. Did I say that right? You shall labor and do all your work. So everything that is to be done is to be done within the first 6 days. That's instruction part one. Instructions part two. By the way, I have it down. Do your work on days 1 through 6. Instructions part 2, do no work on day 7. And I want you to circle no. Do no work on day 7. Because this is so hard. Even the people that I've been around that believe that the Sunday was the Sabbath day, they kept this in a legalistic sense, but it wasn't in an accurate sense. Okay? Because they were doing all kinds of work. Right? It says here, but the seventh day. When? The seventh day, right? The seventh day. By the way, what's the seventh day? Let's get that out. No, we'll cover that later. We'll get to it. The seventh day, what? It's the Sabbath. And notice here, who is of the Lord? It's the Lord's Sabbath. So it connects it to God. The seventh day is connected to God. Which is to me huge. And then it says, what in it, let's see, I can't, there's two who's. What is in it, the second what, in it you shall do no work. And it's the word no work. Not less work, some work, little work, not light work, not office work. Any kind of expended effort. And then notice who. And I find this amazing too. You. And by the way, not just you. Your son. You know, it's like, so there's no telling him to get the remote idea. Go mow the lawn so I can rest. Right? Your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, or the stranger who is within your gates. There's 7 things listed, including your animals. Okay? Now, I assume cattle is all kinds of things, not just bovine, right? But they're going to eat anyway and all that. But it's like you're not having them plow your fields or tread out the grain or anything like that. Okay? Verse 11, that second to the last one, it's part of verse 11. For he goes on to explain why, from creation, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's the what. And then it says, then what? Then he rested on the seventh day. Now, this is the part I struggle with. And I'll get to that when we flip the page over. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord did it. He blessed and hallowed the Sabbath day. Okay? He blessed it and then he hallowed it. He made it holy. All right? So now we know what's there. Let's go to the back side. I wish I could spend more time, but we will get back to some of that in this, okay? We're not ignoring it. We're just speeding to the second side. How important is the Sabbath? to anyone. But I mean here in the context of Israel. Let's just leave it there for now. Prove it.
Because they were God's people. And that was I'm going to use the word gift to them to make it to show them to be different than the rest of the world.
Okay, I'm God's people. A different group of people. Go ahead. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just throwing that out. How important is the Sabbath? Go ahead.
The important part of the Sabbath is the fact that we give a portion of our time to God.
So it's like a time tithe.
Pardon me?
A time tithe. A tithe of our time, only it's not a tenth, it's a seventh.
You can say that, but it's a matter of time we give to God. It is something that belongs. It's just the breath. That's just a testimony saying that my time is God's time. That I'm here for God's purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew, you had your hand up.
Just for practical purposes, it's nice to get a break from work. We've been working hard all week.
It's nice to take a break.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Legit.
Dumb question. Go ahead and ask this. Did they observe Sabbath before Moses brought the laws down?
I don't know. Good question. Observe the Sabbath before Sinai, before the Ten Commandments. Good question, Jim.
There's nothing that says in Scripture that they did.
Or didn't.
Or did not, right.
Yeah. Good question. No answer. How's that? Moving right along. Okay. Focused on what? Sleeping? I focus on sleeping a lot. Usually I'm focusing on wishing I was sleeping, but just to throw out an idea here. Command number 4 is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Command number 5 is honor your parents. Command number 6 is don't kill people. So it's 2 up from don't kill. 7 is don't commit adultery. So just in the placement factor seems to be, and it's 1 of 10, not 1 of 150. So it's a tenth of the summary of everything. So to me, it seems important from that vantage point too. Go ahead.
It's giving God his rightful place in our life. I mean,
for the Israelites, right? Because we don't observe the Sabbath.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Because I came across this and I was trying to find it. Because I figured this is the direction you're looking at.
Oh, you're trying to answer what I'm looking for.
No,
you're playing the game here.
Don't go there.
One
of the writers indicated that the reason why they went into captivity is because they violated the Sabbath. It was not the reason.
They violated the Sabbath of land every 7 years, which is something different.
But it's still related. Because the Sabbath day was to be.
Well, I don't think it was related, not in the same way, because this is a literal 7 days.
That's right.
Unless you're a day age man, and then we need to talk.
But what I'm getting at is this. It's giving God his rightful place in your time.
Okay, that's fine. All right. It seems to be very important because it's listed on the 10. And I'm just saying that. It's that big of a deal. And it seems to be listed in the realm of the moral and the realm of the spiritual. Does that make sense too? It's how you are righteous or holy or spiritual, not just do this, bummer kind of thing, okay? So we'll get to that then, okay? So the first couple don't have numbers by them, but the first one was why was the Sabbath established? And I think I have, why was the Sabbath established? I think I have, excuse me, everything else there. Mark 2:23-28 is in your notes. Now we're jumping to the New Testament, right? And no kidding, we could probably study this for 6 months without a Sabbath. Okay? Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, stripping off wheat or whatever, which, by the way, was legal. You weren't stealing because they were allowed to in the corners of the fields and stuff like that. You couldn't pack a bag with it, but you can eat your fill where you stood. Does that make sense? You couldn't load your wagon or your bag, but you can eat what was there. So they weren't stealing anything. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he, Jesus, said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, and he and those with him when he was fleeing from Saul, right? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to him, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath,'" which is huge. You might want to underline that part. And then it goes on to say, this is an extra principle, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." So there's, I'd say, at least two principles, if not three here. But the Sabbath was made for man, for his benefit, not the man for the... Man was not created so he could keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was created for the somehow for the benefit of man, which we haven't really discussed yet, but it's created for man. And then Jesus goes on to say, "I happen to be the Lord of the Sabbath, and I can do whatever I want." David broke the Sabbath when he was hungry. He was fleeing from Saul. He got Goliath's sword as well. By the way, Saul had all of those priests killed. Okay. Because they assisted David, and they didn't know anything about David running. In fact, David lied and said he's on a secret mission, right? So why was the Sabbath established? At the very least, the Sabbath was made for man, right? It's not intended, we weren't created so we can keep a Sabbath. The Sabbath is created to benefit mankind in some way, okay? So you might want to scribble off to the side, the Sabbath was intended to benefit man, somewhere on the side, somewhere. Two, and I'll put somehow, because we haven't explained it, benefit man. Okay? Mankind, I'll put. I'm not talking about males, I'm talking about people. The next part here, when did it start? When did it start? Okay? Genesis 2, 1 through 3. And this is, I wrestle with this. I honestly do. Not out of a legalistic sense, but the whole Sabbath thing is huge. This is Genesis 2, 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." Therefore, there's the no work, right? "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made." When was the day sanctified? On the seventh day. We hadn't even gotten to day eight yet, right? Okay, so this is, again, what I wrestle with to some degree. Now, I haven't answered any questions yet, and I haven't even told you why I wrestle, and I know that, but I'm just letting you know, it's a hard one for me. Which day is the Sabbath day? 6 days you shall labor. Scripture says the evening and the morning were the first day. Right? And this is the evening and then the whole day down to the next evening. And then the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And the evening or morning and the sixth day. and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. I don't think it actually says that, but that's the idea. So where does day go from? From a biblical perspective, the Sabbath is, what's the first day of the week? Thank you. Sunday. So this would be Monday was day two, right? One, two. Tuesday. I don't mean to oversimplify this. I'm not trying to anyway. Three. Wednesday's four, evening and morning. Thursday is five. Friday is six. Then the evening on the Friday and all day what? Okay. So when does the Sabbath start? Even to this day, if you're a Jew and you have Jewish friends on Facebook, they're always Shabbat Shalom on a certain part of a certain day. Friday evening. Sunset, Friday evening to sunset, Saturday evening. So, sunset, Friday, day six, to sunset, which would begin the evening of the next day, Saturday. So, and it, I tell you what, somehow we got goofed around, so the days start at midnight and end at midnight, and I think that goofs us all up. Because I heard one person say this, if you would start thinking that church started Saturday evening, how would it change your next day? Not attending church, but preparing for it. Like say, we have to get home by 6 because we're going to start reading and studying and preparing for the, you know, and resting even. How many here feel pretty haggardly? I do, all right? I'm the Old Testament likeness of the priest who worked on the Sabbath day kind of thing. I'm always wore out on Sunday. But it started then, and it was the day, Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. So the next now here's my best shot at what this means to us today. Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff, and I'm telling you all that I know, but it's not enough. In the New Testament, in the epistles, the only command that is not repeated is the Sabbath command that shows up someplace else. I'm not talking the Gospels, because the Gospels were still under the law, right? Until Jesus died, the law was still in full force till the Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. But so the Sabbath was in vogue and all of that kind of stuff, plus other Sabbaths, other holidays, if you will. So, but after that, the church seemed to meet on Sunday, the first day of the week. Lots of reasons for that, but apparently when Jesus rose from the dead, it's kind of like an idea of mentality of grace, where the Sabbath was at the end of a work week, grace is at the beginning of a work week, kind of, you know, there's different ideas there. And I can't even argue those very fluently, because a lot of those are ideas, not adamant things that you can nail down. Okay, I don't think it's wrong to meet on a Monday night or a Tuesday morning or whatever. It isn't necessarily the day, okay, there. But I do believe, at the very least, I do believe there's a Sabbath principle. And even by saying that, it's hard not to be legalistic about it. So I'm just sharing my struggles, and I hope that I impart to you good things and not bad things. I'm not talking about truth, but I hope that I don't come across too legalistically or whatever, because I'm not trying to do that. But these are 6 reasons why God established the Sabbath. At the very least, you can say this. By the way, the word Sabbath means what? Seventh. And it's synonymous with the idea of rest. Okay? When they say it's a Sabbath in the Old Testament, they're not talking about it's another seventh day. It's another day of rest. And they had multiple Sabbaths. Passover was a Sabbath where you did no work. okay? Multiple days. And it wasn't just the seventh day. There was all kinds of feasts and stuff. Certain days of those feasts, you could do no work. They were Sabbaths.
Every 50th year, there was a year of Jubilee, and there was nothing to be done for that.
They didn't work the land, but it was not a Sabbath, per se. The land was the Sabbath. I don't really want to get into the land thing. I think it relates, but it doesn't relate to this. It means the same thing in a different way, but not this. It's not the seven-day thing. So, but anyway, number one, if you would, I know you're going to be flipping back and forth, but notice here the main reason, and Andrew hit on this, it's kind of like the obvious no-brainer, but why do you have a Sabbath? It says here, you shall do no work. It's so you can, number one, rest. On the backside, lower right-hand corner, I have that little box. And those are just notes on my third page that you never get that I pulled up and threw there. And the one thing I want to highlight there is we have too much to do. Anyone here all done with everything? Raise your hand. Anybody half done with everything? I think I was telling Mark yesterday. He stopped by, and it seems like if I knock two things out, by the end of the day, there's 10 more on my list. So not only am I not catching up, I'm not even breaking even for the day, right? So if you wait till you get everything done, you will never rest. Now, there's rest in the evenings, but that's apparently not enough rest. We need an extended rest on a weekly basis to recharge, okay? To rest our body and catch up on our rest. Part of growing up, and I'm not trying to malign going to church morning, evening, afternoon, or whatever. But one of the things, and especially I think I felt it more as a pastor, is I would be exhausted by the end of a Sunday. And one of the reasons we moved our evening service to the morning, which now doesn't exist, that service doesn't, we called it Jumpstart, is so that we could truly not only meet and do those things that God wants us to, but so that we could also rest. If you had to go home and then, get your food and then change clothes because you don't want to get them dirty and then you have to turn around and go back at night. By the time the night's over, you're exhausted. And especially if you're a pastor and you'd stay up all night the night before, you're extra tired, whatever that is. So it is to rest, and it's rest that you can't get during the week. It is a different kind of rest. It's an extended daytime rest, apparently. Okay? Number two. Where do I get this? I say reflect. Sabbath was there to rest. You do no work. And nobody... we'll get to the other. And reflect. Where do I get that? Two ways. Follow me here. One is, it says to keep it holy. Well, what does not working have to do with keeping it holy? Well, I think the idea is you're remembering God on that day. Okay? It's set apart to think about God. Now, this is the part I struggle with, too, because those that somehow hold to some kind of Sabbath, and I do to some as a principle, not a day, understand that necessarily, because I can't seem to weasel my way out of it. And it seems to be something that we do not want to weasel out of because God has to command people to do this. Right? Just like all of the other things there. But it says they're to do no work. And they would not do anything. They were, even remember the manna that came in? They had to collect it on 6 days, so there was a Sabbath observance before then, Jim, at least on the manna part, before this time. I think the manna came before this. They were observing it. The seventh day, God gave them double load on the sixth day. Seventh day, there was nothing there, and they apparently were supposed to, I don't know if they cooked then, I don't remember all the details. But the idea is there, right? But those of us that think of a Sabbath or grew up in that, remember they used to have the blue laws where they didn't have, the town I grew up in had nothing open on Sundays at all. But the idea is, listen to me, the Sabbath is not watching a football game, if you want to follow this. It's not watching a movie. It's not working on your hobby. It's not writing letters, if I understand this correctly. Okay? And I've never met anyone that follows it that way. I've met some Reform church people that kind of held pretty tightly to it, so they would do pretty good. But they did nothing. Why? I think if... what do? We get in the car and what do? You turn the radio on. You sit down at home, and I'm not saying everybody does this, but I'm saying this is normal behavior. People turn the TV on. People do that. The idea is to shut everything out, not like you are a transcendental meditationist, but with God as your only focus, nothing else. My daughter goes up to camp this afternoon. She's going to be a counselor of a camp. Susie is this week at special camp again for the handicapped, different mentally handicapped mostly. But at least at youth camps, I don't know if they still do this because I've been a while since I've been a youth and stuff. But they, at the time when I was growing up, no radios, no recorders. They didn't have cell phones, so that wasn't an issue. But nothing that can detract you from the focus. Right? In the same way, I think this whole reflect thing is, if we're constantly drawing our attention away from God, it's missing the point of the Sabbath. It needs to be just God as our focus. And it's not saying any of those things are wrong. Hear me? It's saying that we need an extended time just to think about God. And we're not talking about daily devotions, if you use that term, or reading your Bible every day, but an extended time of reflection on God. And all of a sudden you think, you know what? How do I keep God as the only God before me? And how do I keep from lowering Him to my standards? And how do I keep from emptying His name by what I say or what I do if I am not taking an extended time to look at God? And God seemed to think we needed a whole day to rest and reflect. He seemed to think we needed it. The Sabbath was created for man. Does that make sense? We need the rest, and we need time to stop everything else and pay attention to God. Because anything else on or we're active in keeps us, it just distracts us. Okay? If that makes sense. I find that very hard. Because I don't know if it's multitasking, because people say you can't really multitask. But it's hard to put all of your concentration on one thing. And God says you get rid of everything else, and guess what? You have no choice. Right? It's that idea. It's to give God that. The next one here is so you can respect those under you. Andrew said it's nice to take a break after working hard all week. Yes. You work for somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't it nice? Now, part of it's our law, legal system that actually builds this in now so that they can't overwork you, or if they do, they have to pay you time and a half and stuff like that. In the same way, it was intended so that you would be respectful to other people who also need the break, including your animals. Because that's a proper way to care for your stuff. Now, I don't know how you treat a tractor because it's an inanimate object, right? It's not obviously that. But they were plowing with their animals or treading the grain or whatever. It's like, no, they need the break too. Right? The whole group, your servants and all that. So you're not the plantation person that's working your slaves 7 days a week while you're taking an easy sip and lemonade. That isn't what God was saying. He said everybody. And it was all day long. It's amazing how some people in the slavery business like the Bible to a point. Right? Number four. This one's related to number two. By the way, reflect can mean even on how you, what you're doing in life. All these things. How you're spending your money. How you're, you know, handling your health or whatever. It could be all of that in light of God. Number four, so you can reverence God. And I have Exodus 35 here. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day to you, a Sabbath of rest." And notice, to the Lord, well, facing the Lord maybe is a good way to say it. It's resting, facing God. "Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." That sounds pretty important. I'd probably annotate that in my scroll when I heard that. Underline that twice. "You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings." You can't even start a fire. Okay? So reverence God properly. It's a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. It isn't just to give you a break. It's a break so you can focus Godward. Okay? Number five. To restrict. What did I put down here? So you can restrict your focus. Somebody said that. I think it was Teresa mentioned something like that. Focus. Okay? Limit your focus. Here's Nehemiah chapter 13. A little extended passage, but "Remember me," this is Nehemiah praying, "remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day in which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath day to the children of Judah." A mobile mall, if you will. "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What evil thing,'" remember we said it's a moral issue, "'what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." You make it a normal day. That means profane the Sabbath. "So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you.'" He was going to throw them in jail or whatever. "From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy." Again, I know it sounds funny, but part of resting and to recharge and reflect is to restrict your focus. Shopping does not restrict your focus. For example, okay, and we're not talking just traveling, you can do it online or everything now. I'm saying the concept of the Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath, is to eliminate normal distractions that you would do other days of the week, okay? Number six, and this is, I think, maybe almost a summary point. but so you can realign your heart. So you can realign your heart. This is in Ezekiel. And boy, there's all kinds of stuff. If you want to study about the Sabbath, it's a long haul. Ezekiel 20. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, God's talking here, to be a sign between them and me, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands. Because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my Sabbaths, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after idols. Isn't it interesting that not observing the Sabbath for Israel helped them pursue idols? It encouraged them because the Sabbath principle is the idea that there's a way to realign your heart after a week of working hard, to go back and reset everything, to realign everything, because work gets hard, life gets long, I'm too busy with too much to do, and yet it puts God first in my life. To rest, because God says I need to rest, and to reflect on who He is. In that little box down there, I have no time with God and no time for God. And that's two parts of the same thing. I honestly believe we've worked God out of a job when it comes to us spending time with Him. He has not quit, we have. And if we have no time for God and no time with God, then He is indeed not God. We have made Him something less. He's our rabbit's foot. He's our go-to person when things get tough. But God is to be the one God in our life. And He says we need to spend a good amount of time weekly focusing on Him and resting, because it helps us maintain a right perspective. Anybody get tired and start losing focus? I'm not talking physically, but it's when you're not rested, you don't function well, right? That whole rest and reflection thing, I think, really brings us back on target. And that's God's idea from the very beginning. Four steps. I changed it to four. My notes say three steps, but I noticed I had 4 points. And I put four on yours. So let me put it quickly here. Four things. What I would encourage you to do. By the way, Ezekiel 20 seems to indicate that the Sabbath was specifically designed for Israel. Okay, so I'm not arguing that point, but the Sabbath began in creation and seems to be a principle. He created the Sabbath for man, right? There's a benefit there. So I would encourage you to designate time to both do extended rest and extended reflection. Okay, and we'll get to those in number three, too. But two, the concept of Sabbath says we need rest, and we also need to reflect. And reflecting means that we have to eliminate distractions. The TV or the radio on or browsing the internet is not resting our mind anyway, and we need time to reflect, and we cannot browse the internet and reflect on God very easily. Okay? In fact, if there's anything more distracting, I keep thinking that, and knowledge shall increase. That had to include the internet, because you can find out anything on the internet. Just the news. I know way more news than I probably ever need to know because of Twitter. Okay, here's an article. Oh, that looks good to read. I'll read that sometime, you know. Man, I have so many sometime articles, it's not even funny. And then, designate time, eliminate distractions, fulfill the purpose, the purposes, and I have reflect, and I think I used the word recharge. Again, it's not, in our Western culture, the harder you work, the more you make, and all of that. And God says, no, you need time to do that. I think we would be better off as men and women if we had more rest, period. We're not so strung out and wore out all the time. And God said, I don't know why, because I gave you a principle how to avoid that, because you know, you feel like you're on a never-ending road march. And God says, I don't know why, because I gave you every seventh day off, at least in principle. And if you can't take that day off, figure out a time when you... I like to say there's at least one day I can sleep in. Now, sleeping to my dad is 4 in the morning. Sleeping into me is probably 8. Right? But I mean, at least that, you know, a time when the alarm doesn't go off. By the way, it's not Sunday for me ever, you know. But then to reflect and recharge, to have it where you shut the TV off, you shut the radio off. Maybe read a good book that helps you understand God. Or read through an entire book of the Bible. Whether it's the book of James with 5 chapters or the book of Genesis with 50. Right? It'll change your perspective of God. Or read half of it, or you know, something like that. But take some extended time, take some notes, and say, God, where am I at in my life compared to where you want me to be? Right? That's the idea there. And then, number 4, guard your time. Why is that? Because what is it, what's the principle? Work expands to fill all available time. What?
Time fills itself.
What is it?
It's got
different names. Different names, but yeah, anyway, it's the idea is you don't have to look for work. Life fills up itself, right? There's always more going on than we can even hope to schedule. I think the freest time I ever had when I was probably 18 and younger, right? Because I had freedom and liberty to move around and I didn't have responsibility. After that, life became compound issues. And then when you get married, there's even more. Or if you're going to school, I was married and then went to college. Man, all this stuff, you know, and the finances and things like that, it all grows up. And then responsibilities at church, because God doesn't give churches an option, right? It's an essential. All of this kind of stuff, all of that goes together. So anyway, I think it's God's way to combat busyness. That's the last word in that little square there. But also idolatry of self, idolatry of work, idolatry of God is not the center focus. And he says, the only way I'm going to be the center focus is if you take extended time each week to rest so that you can let yourself down and then to reflect on him for a while. And I'm not saying they didn't do it for 24 hours, right? Because they slept too. It wasn't but rest and reflect without other distractions. And then do that and guard that. And I honestly believe we probably will have a lot less problems just relationally because we're more rested. It'll be easier to focus on God because we're more rested and we're also feeding ourselves on that day, you know. Whether it's reviewing sermon notes or reading scriptures or reading a good book to focus in that direction, whatever the case might be. That's fertilizing the old spiritual garden, isn't it? And that what it is, it's kind of just helping things out. And I believe that that's what God says we need. I'm not talking about a specific day, but if you're not doing this at all, I think you're missing God's entire creation pattern there. So we need to do that. And again, it seems to be connected to moral and spiritual things. It's not something legalistic. It's like saying, like checking your tires or something. It's like changing your oil. It's like maintaining your spiritual walk with God. This is what's necessary. And it helps you to probably stay healthier because you're getting the adequate amount of rest and healthy relationships, spiritual, emotional, all that kind of stuff is connected with rest, right? So A lot of people don't read their Bibles because they're too tired. It's like, oh, wow. How many movies did you watch today? And you're too tired to read the Bible. How much news did you watch or listen to today? And yet you don't have time. Do it during the week, but also do more of it when you have a day that you can set some time aside to do that, right? Questions or comments? I had no idea it was this late. You need a Sabbath for me. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your truths. Lord, I don't even know exactly how to fully apply this, but help us to rest, because we know that you know we need that. Rest some extra time on a weekend day or a day that we have off. But Lord, also help us to take some extended time that's not just church time, though church time would obviously count some, to focus on you so that there are no other distractions and that we have time with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.